Thank you very much. This your first time here? My first time, too. How was it? I think it was 2 years ago, my wife and I were passing through the area from coming from New Jersey, going down to Bristol Bible Conference to pick up our son, Pete. And so we came by here for a visit, and it was my first time at Greenwood Hills Bible Conference, and I come from Jersey City, New Jersey, and took all of those years to come. It's a joy to be here, and I thought we'd just read a verse or two from the Scriptures, make a few comments, and the meeting will be dismissed in prayer. I'm going to read some verses from Romans chapter 1. In verse 14, Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is county fair time, and I remember several years ago now when our family was a lot younger. We were living in Connecticut at the time. We took our boys to the local county fair. And I remember very distinctly as we went into the entrance, through the entrance of the fairgrounds, that right there at the entrance was a man standing beside a large black limousine. And it caught my eye because it had New Jersey license tags on it. And I wondered, now, what is this fellow doing up here at the county fair with this large black limousine? And I noticed on the hood of this large limousine, just a pile of boxes. And so we lingered a while, and the man began to make his little talk to the crowd. He opened up one of these boxes, and he showed it to us, and then he took out of his pocket some crayons and so on, and he began to mark up the hood of this black, shiny, expensive limousine. He took out some dirt and some sand, whatever it was, and he sprinkled this on it, and he made the hood of that car a real mess. He brushed away the loose dirt and sand, and there was grease marks from the chalk and so on, all on the hood of his car. And, of course, he took out his product, and he began to tell us about it. The virtues of this car cleaner. He took a rag and he dipped into the bottle, the jar rather, and he applied it over this surface that had been marred and not scarred, but soiled. Gave it a few moments to dry, and then with another cloth, he just brushed it away, and the car was black and shiny once again. And I detected something about this fellow. I detected a smug complacency. Here was a fellow who knew his product, who knew what it could do, and he wasn't afraid or ashamed to preach his wares and to tell the people as to what he could do or what you could do if you would apply this to that automobile. And you know, when Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, I think that's exactly what he meant. Because you see, he had never been to the city of Rome, but this was one of the great desires in his heart, that I might see Rome also. And he wasn't afraid to go there to preach the gospel because he knew that the gospel would produce results. In Rome in those days, there were all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of preaching, all kinds of messages going out to the people. They were worshiping the emperor for example, and everything else, all kinds of false teachings to the people. And Paul said, I can't wait to get to the city of Rome, right in the very heart of it, that I might preach the gospel of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because I know it produces results. And I am very happy to be here tonight for just a few moments to tell you about the Lord Jesus, because I know that it works. I didn't see the hands that went up when our friend and brother asked for those who had been saved 40 years and 50 years and 60 years. But you know, that's a real testimony to the fact that the gospel does produce results. It does work. It's something that lasts. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the dynamite of God. It is that which is forceful that causes a change. That's what the word means. The dynamic of God, it is that which causes a change. And when Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 12, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He was saying this: the gospel is also on trial in the city of Rome. A church had been planted there. Folk had trusted Jesus Christ. And now the church is on trial, as it were. The gospel is on trial. Will it work? Will it last? I beseech you, Christians there in Rome, be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world, but be ye transformed. That is to say, make an outward change in your life, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the gospel, when it's believed, brings life. And then when the Christian gives their life to Christ and presents their bodies a living sacrifice, they are demonstrating by their practical outworking of it the fact that it really works and produces results. So many folk have made professions of faith in Christ. Oh, yes, I believe. Easy believism today, my friends, but it doesn't mean very much unless there's the behaving side of the gospel. The gospel works. It is the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I want to say tonight, in my little time here, that there might be some here who maybe years ago have made a profession. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. But you know, from that moment to this, there hasn't been any evidence in your life that what you profess to believe has made a change in your life. You see, many of you folk have never met me before. And I could come here tonight and say, let me see, what can I be tonight? I'm a nuclear physicist. That would impress you. And it would be just my fortune that in the audience is a nuclear physicist. And when the service is over, you'll meet me at the door and say, say, I'm a nuclear physicist. I'll tell you something that happened in the lab today. Let's have a chat for a while. Will you do that with me now? I want to tell you about one of our problems that we've been facing. Perhaps you can help me. My friends, I can say I'm a nuclear physicist. but I cannot talk the language. And profession is simply saying I am a Christian. But confession is sitting down and talking about Jesus Christ. Let's converse about him, as it were. And on the one hand, a person says, yes, I believe, I'm a Christian. But there is no evidence in the life that a change has taken place. And Paul says, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein, that is to say, in the gospel, in this message, is the righteousness of God revealed. This was the verse that challenged Martin Luther several hundred years ago. When he read this verse, he said, I don't understand that. In the gospel, the love of God is revealed, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I can understand that in the gospel the love of God is revealed. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my raptured soul found liberty. Where? At Calvary. And Martin Luther said, I can understand that in the gospel the love of God is revealed. And I can understand in the gospel the grace of God is revealed. The grace of God hath appeared to all men, bringing salvation. I can understand that, he said. But I don't understand how that in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed upon the principle of faith. I don't understand that. And this is what challenged the mind of that great theologian several hundred years ago. Ah, my friend, tonight, may I say this? That if you realize that Jesus Christ is not your Savior, but that your sin separates you from a holy and a righteous God, if you will tonight rest your case in his hands. I love these songs that our friends have sung tonight. They have made Christ preeminent, talking about Jesus Christ, receiving Christ. And if tonight you will receive Christ by faith into your heart and life, God will save you, and he will be absolutely righteous in doing it. I was sitting around a table several years ago at a wedding reception with a lot of my relatives on my father's side. None are Christians. The wedding was over. We had gone to the place where the reception was being held, and they were eating and they were drinking. And I was sitting around a round table with several cousins and so on and so forth. And it was a dimly lit restaurant where we were, someplace over in Brooklyn, I guess it was. And we began to talk about the Lord Jesus. What an atmosphere, but there we were, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ at this table. And I was trying to bring out to these relatives of mine the fact that you can receive Christ into your heart and life as your personal Savior and know right now that you have eternal life. And one fellow named Phil, who had married to one of my cousins, became very angry at me, and he hit the table hard. And he said, everything I get in this life I will get by my own effort. I'll never take anything for nothing, not even your salvation. And all that I have in the business world, I've gotten because I've had to work and fight and scratch for it. And I will receive nothing as a gift. I'm going to have to pay for it, he said. I got the message. But my friends, God is absolutely righteous in granting a sinner eternal life, because at Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. What is mercy? Mercy is the withholding of God's judgment from the guilty sinner. And grace is the bestowing upon that guilty sinner that which he does not deserve, everlasting life. And as we close in prayer, I want to testify to you folk tonight that in 1942, as a teenage fellow, I came to Christ as a guilty sinner. And they were singing that night in the basement of that particular church in Jersey City. They were singing it was a young people's meeting, "Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." And that night I came to Christ as a fellow who had been convicted of my sins for 3 long, weary months. And that night I found peace, and I want to testify tonight it works. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. Because it's on the basis of faith to men who have faith. Will you trust Christ tonight? You've never done it before. Maybe you have professed this in the past, but you know, down deep in your heart, it's not real. Why not tonight be real? Settle the matter once and for all, and really and truly receive Christ as your personal Savior. And in that moment, the promise is this: you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. May God grant it for His glory and for your eternal blessing. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for the ministry of song. We thank Thee for placing a song in our hearts, even praise unto our God. That the songs that we sing tonight, Father, are the songs of the redeemed. It's all because of Calvary. We thank Thee for Him tonight, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very theme of all of our singing. We thank Thee, Father, for the Word of God that we have in our hands that guides us and leads us along that path that leads to everlasting life. We commend every heart to Thee tonight. Those of us who belong to Thee, may our spirits have been lifted. May all of Thy dear people have been encouraged tonight as they've been listening to the ministry of song. And the hearts of those who are here, Lord, who are not really belonging to Thee, may in this moment they confess their need, confess their sin, and right now, by faith, blessed God, may they turn to Christ and be saved. We commend this service to Thee. It goes into eternity, Father, but Father, we pray that the effects of it will never be lost. Get glory to Thy name. Blessing to Thy people, and salvation to the dear unsaved, in whose name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.